Worship team, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you just need to thank Him, amen. Right answer. I'm not trying to be real spiritual right now. I'm just thanking Jesus. Come on, I'm still thanking Him for the prayer that He just answered, right? I don't know who that was. And you don't even have to let us know. What matters is that you know. Amen? God hears you. God sees you. God knows where you're at. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's not left you. He hasn't forsaken you. Amen? He's still here for you today. Amen. How many know He's the priest of all priests? He's the pastor of all pastors. Amen? Come on. And I appreciate Him today. Amen? I know Pastor Roy would be the first to say, yeah, we better worship the Lord first. Amen? Come on. We seek Him first, and I can rest assured that everything else will fall into place today. Amen. I give Him glory. I give Him honor. I give Him everything He's due, and I know He'll work out the rest. It's my only trust. It's my only hope in life. Amen. Come on. The Scriptures say that if we love Him, come on, and we're called according to His purposes, then He'll work everything together for our good. Come on. I make my plans, but I've got to commit them to God. And He brings success about, amen? Come on, you're here for a reason today, amen? God loves you. Whoever that person is, God loves you and God knows what you're going through, amen? Amen, that's good. I'm going to have to get a drink of water if you don't mind. Usually I only need one drink and one breath. I'm good for like an hour and 15 minutes, so I took a drink earlier and I got choked on it, so
I'm stretching myself.
Amen. Wow, what an exciting day. Amen. I'm going to jump in. I've got a scripture I want to share with you this morning. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can turn there if you'd like. I'm going to read it out of the Message translation. It's going to be on the screen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13 says, "And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love." Today it is my privilege and honor to celebrate, to overwhelm our pastors with appreciation and love. And at this time, I would ask that you stand and join me in giving honor and double honor to this amazing man and woman of God. Come on, now that's what I call thanksgiving. Come on, thanksgiving. Amen. And I'm looking forward to our Thanksgiving meal together today, but first things first, right? First things first. This morning, before I say anything about our pastors, I must first establish that your relationship with God, your relationship with God, I want you to hear this. Come on. Your relationship with God will change your relationship with your pastor. Now, I know I didn't go real deep on you there. Your relationship with God will determine your relationship with your pastor. Because when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, well, that changes everything. Right? When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that changes everything. Everything. In fact, I remember my first run-in with the pastor. Now, that's exciting, right? You're like, ooh, that's good. You going to tell us about that? Yeah, I'm going to tell you about it. It's good. Yeah, I remember my first run-in with the pastor. It was in the year 2000. Sounds so long ago, doesn't it, right? But let me actually back up 1 year to 1999. Come on, even longer, right? Some of y'all wasn't even alive, right? Was you alive? Was you? When was you born? Yeah, 96, okay. Yeah, Y2K. How many of you was here? Yeah, you had to point at Lisa. Y2K, y'all, was y'all at Bridge of Hope Fellowship in the year 2000? Y'all remember that? All right, some of you. You still have a closet full of stuff, right, in case. Come on. I'm not trying to go there this morning, but when I first met Lisa and I was at her house, she had a closet full of goods just in case, right? She was certain that the Lord was coming back, and I said, what is all of that? She said, Pastor told us to get ready. Come on. Pastor told us to get ready. I was like, okay. I hadn't got to that part of the Bible yet. Come on, I was still a new believer. I thought, you mean to tell me Jesus is coming back, right? Like, at midnight? Like, on New Year's? That's when we started having New Year's Eve services. We thought it was it. And then we're like, nah, we'll do this again next year. And then the year after, and then the year after. Amen. That is funny, right? Come on. Oh, man. Just in case. Man, but in 1999, can I just tell you that the plan of God is amazing? And I'm wondering if you might just have a little more praise in you this morning, because I was reminded that Bridge of Hope Fellowship moved downtown in 1999. And while construction and remodeling was going on in this building, I was being housed across the river there. Sentencing. On felony charges awaiting my final sentencing. Amen. And construction and remodeling was going on in this building. Having no idea whatsoever that I would one day stand in this place. 1999. So close, yet so far away. Come on, some of you may have forgotten where you came from this morning, and you need to give him some thanksgiving today. Amen. Come on, do you remember where the Lord brought you from? Come on, now that's thanksgiving. I remember Jesus. I remember 1999, Jesus. When I knew no love, but love came knocking on my door. On the door of my heart, and I had seen love for the first time. Truly for the first time in my life. And realized that I was accepted. I was wanted. I belonged to Him. Amen? Come on, you remember when you didn't always do right? You went left. He told you to go right. Come on, where you at, Bethany? You remember that song? Right? Y'all remember that one? Y'all don't remember that. Come on, if you've been around here for a while, you don't remember that? He told me to, come on, I went left. He told me to go right. But I'm standing right here in the midst of wet tears, right? Y'all don't remember that? Come on, y'all don't remember when you went left? Come on, and he told you to go right, but you're standing right here. Lord, I thank you to be the Lamb of God. Amen. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all know that song, right? You remember now? Now, have you been here for a while? We wore that one out, didn't we? Come on. It was good, though. It was powerful. Amen. How many know I didn't get here by myself, though, right? You didn't get here by yourself, right? Come on. I needed help, and you needed help, too. But I'm glad you're here today. Amen. In 1999, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and everything changed. Quickly this morning, I need two volunteers, two very brave people, two people who absolutely, totally trust each other. Come on. Nobody? You guys, that would be great. You are interested, right? Perfect. That's great. I love that. You guys are, y'all really trust each other too, right? Huh? You're not what? You're not falling on her? Okay. You don't have to. So no falling, actually, on anyone. So let me see. I'm going to need a little help too, but just hang tight, all right? I need like six kids or something like that. Or maybe just all the kids. Maybe all the kids come up and help me out. This is quick. I need all the kids. Just kids. Kids, kids, kids. I got kids. Oh, this is going to be fun. So listen, you get two balls for $3. All right? No. Here we go. Here you got a couple. Let me give a couple to everybody. All right, how far do you think you'll have to stand away from Pastor Roy. How far do you think you'll have to stand away from him to hit him in the face? No. All right, you've got a few minutes if you want to run. Sorry, I didn't really need you. Okay, I'm just making sure, because they do need something to throw these at. So, no, I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. You got a couple. All right, who wants a couple more? Come on, get your hands out there. Fantastic. Good. One more. All right, 3, 4, 5. Who wants more? Good. All right, this is going to be fun. So, all right, hey, I'm going to need your help setting up an obstacle course. Can you help me do that? You want to help me do that? There you go, a couple more. Okay, there comes some more kids. This is going to be fun. Those two are yours right there. All right, no throwing them. All right, so just trying to get everybody involved, right? So if y'all just stand on the wall there, that'd be fantastic. So here's what I want you guys to do. Actually, just place those couple of balls like right in here somewhere. And then you put yours like right over here. And then you back up a little bit. Put yours like right there. Keep on backing up. We're just going to keep set. Just go ahead and put them down on the ground there. Not right next to each other. Spread them out a little bit. Like an obstacle course. So yeah, just there you go. Perfect. All right, there you go. Just start laying them out. Spread them out a little bit. All right, back up a little bit more. All right, let's back a few of them up just a little bit more. You're doing good. All right, if you already put your ball down, then you can go on ahead back to your seat. Thank you very much. Appreciate your help. Very good. Give them a hand clap. Yeah, just leave them there. Perfect. Good. There you go. You taking them with you, huh? All right, you going to leave yours? No? You want to keep them? I can give you those balls after service. How about that? So if you'll leave them here now, just like right there. There you go. All right, right there. Yeah, we need to leave them. Can we leave those? Do you mind? Yeah, right there. Perfect. Yeah. He said no. Perfect. Hey, after service, I'll give you a couple of them, okay? Sound good? You're going to leave yours there? Yeah, if you'll just put it right there, that'll be great. Awesome. Give me five. Thank you so much. Appreciate your help. There comes Dad. Good. All right. I don't know. You guys might want to take a good look at these because this is an obstacle course, okay? All right. And so we're going to get you blindfolded. Who wants to be blindfolded? You'll take the blindfold, huh? All right. Very good. Can I have you sign this waiver first? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Jokes. I got jokes today, so. No pastor's jokes, so I'm just going to keep all the jokes for everything else, right? Good. Peyton, if you want to, you're going to get blindfolded. Great, you can stay right there. Sheldon, if you want to come up here on the stage, if you'll just stand right there. Oh, let me make sure I'm not missing anything. No, we've got the obstacle course. Peyton is blindfolded. The waiver has been signed. And Sheldon's going to be our coach. So here's what we're going to do. Peyton. Blindfolded. Can you see anything? Just in case you could, if you'll go on ahead and close your eyes too, that'd be great. Cool. All right, so Peyton is going to represent us, okay? Us. Peyton's blindfolded. He's going to represent us. Sheldon is going to represent God. So she's like the coach, right? And so here's what we're going to do in a minute. I'm going to say go. And Peyton, you're just going to slowly start to move forward, okay? Now, you don't have to take big steps or anything like that. Honestly, if you want to shuffle around like an old person, that's fine too. So you don't slip on any of these balls since you didn't sign the waiver. Okay? So Sheldon's going to give you instructions. Really what she needs to do is help you dodge these obstacles, okay? So you're going to need to get to the other side of the obstacle course. It's not terribly far, but you're going to kind of need to make your way through there, all right? So you're going to get the mic, and you're going to lead him through here. I'm going to say go. Peyton, you're going to slowly start to walk, and you're going to have to navigate him. Do you remember that game, Frogger? No. Yeah, move it. Because you were born in 1996. How many remember that game, right? It's moving. You're just like, you trying to get through it. Frogger was awesome. I loved Frogger. You see Walmart came out with those arcade games? Did you see that? The Rampage and Street Fighter and all that stuff. It's like $2.99 for the arcade game. All right. Just some Christmas ideas. Sheldon, are you ready? All right. So listen, are you ready, Peyton? All right, here we go.
Slower, 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 slower. All right, a little to the left. All right. Now, walk one step forward, then turn angle to the right. Yep, walk. Walk. Walk a little to the left. Yep. No, okay. Turn the right. Yep, right there. No, a little farther right. Yep, now walk forward.
Wow, that was good. You guys work well together. I wouldn't know it, but, right? Exactly. I mean, a half hour before, up. Wow. I mean, it's like, is this really going to go on today? So, amen. All right, so let me just start to paint this picture for you. So, we get saved, right? All right, so we get saved, we put our trust in Jesus, and Jesus begins to guide us through life, right? Through the obstacles of life, and maybe you're not totally blind, right? I get it. You're not totally blind. You've got plans, you've got goals, but the truth is, tomorrow is not promised to anyone, and there are obstacles in life that you have no idea are in your path, right? So really, you and Jesus, you've got this like great thing going on, this amazing connection, and life is good. So, again, don't go anywhere. You're saved. We already covered that, right? So I'm talking blindfolded individual. Peyton represents us. Sheldon representing God. So you're saved, trusting Jesus, reading your Bible, and you realize in reading your Bible that you need to get plugged into a church, right? So you show up, like it, go through membership class, and then, everybody say, and then. Come on, I need to mix this up a little bit, right? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask for another volunteer. Caleb, I'm actually going to have you help this morning, if that'd be all right with you. Come on up, if you don't mind, stand next to Sheldon here. If you could put that blindfold back on, I'm sorry. If you could find, I mean, but at least you didn't have to wear it while I was saying all that. It would have been more odd, so. And if you could find another space, you know, there on the wall again, that'd be great. So just hang tight. So we're going to use you. You ready? All right, so here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have a minute to help see if you can guide Peyton through the obstacle course, right? So one more time, everybody say, and then pastor comes on the scene, all right? So you're going to represent the pastor. Is that all right? Good deal. So pastor's on the scene. No offense, Pastor Roy, but in comparison to God, you know, I'm just saying. So, again, so Caleb's going to represent the pastor. So you're with me, right, this morning. Peyton represents us, okay? Sheldon represents God. Caleb's going to represent the pastor. All right, so let's get ready to give this a shot and see how Caleb does at leading the blind. Amen? And, again, you just joined the church, and at first, the pastor is sweet, cute, funny. You just like to hear him talk, right? Fun to be around, energetic, right? Tries really hard, dresses nice. You're looking good today. Nice, good. All in all, you're glad that this blindfold thing is in the Bible, right? Again, life is good. So, the blindfolded is us. The coach is now the pastor. Let's see how he does. Are you ready? Wait a minute, just a minute, hold on. I need six students. Can I have six students? I need some help here. Six students, so I'm looking for teenagers. That's you. Come on, just six of you. There you go. One, two, three, four, five. One more. Six, that's six. All right, okay, if you guys would come over here as well, I'm just going to have you also stand here next to Peyton and face this direction as well. You know, just kind of split up just a little bit, or spread out just as much room as you have. Actually, you'll need to walk forward, so tighten up a little bit, or maybe get on the other side of Peyton there. Charlie won't bite. You're okay, so you can make it. All right? Peyton, why don't you move to the middle? Let them slide down just a little bit. That'll be fantastic. Amen. As you're getting positioned, Caleb, get ready, because I'm going to need you to lead them all at the same time. Is that okay? Can you, you're good. Man, you've got confidence. You ready? All right. So listen, here's what's going to happen. All right, guys. Everybody is going to begin to move when I say go. All right. So you're all going to start moving just like Peyton did, right? I said, all right, on your mark, get set, go. Peyton started walking. So I don't have blindfolds for everyone. And save us a little time. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. Okay. And Caleb's going to begin to tell you, he's going to navigate you through the obstacle course, right? So they represent us. Sheldon represents God. Caleb, Pastor Caleb, are you ready?
Yes.
Close your eyes. All right, you ready to lead the blind? Hey, you got to figure this out, bro. You're the pastor, right? Everybody ready? Eyes closed. Oh, come on. Some of you got your eyes open still. Don't be talking to your friends.
Everybody start to walk slowly from...
Set. On your mark. Get set. Go. Everybody start moving.
Mari, go to left. Peyton, go to the left.
Everybody else, bro.
I'm trying. Everybody start walking a little more faster. Everybody go to the left. Everybody... I want to go to the left.
Pastor Caleb. What happened, man? Look at these guys. What's up with that? And Peyton totally crushed some kid a second ago trying to get one of those balls. That was some kid's hand. They're okay. What happened?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, tell us. What happened?
I don't know.
Just tell everybody.
I don't know.
What happened?
I got mixed up.
You got mixed up?
Yes.
Do you think pastors ever get mixed up?
Yes.
Right? I mean, was this hard?
Plus mama.
Mama? Your mama got in the way? I've heard Pastor Roy use that one a time or two before as well. My mama, he's been leaning on her prayer cloth for a long time now. Come on. So it was tough, huh? All right, let's give these guys a hand clap. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes. Thank you. Amen. I appreciate that. Fantastic. We're going somewhere with this. I'm not just having fun. Oh, my goodness. Peyton, he's kind of, you were a little aggressive there. I mean, but that was good. I mean, that was, I kind of like that aggressiveness. Wow, so some of you might have been, you may have been, I mean, and you'll get the whole picture if you haven't gotten it already, but you'll get it here shortly. But some of you may have been wondering, like, what was Lisa doing? Like, what was that all about, right? I mean, she just snatched up her chair and she plopped it down there in front of the people that were moving forward. And more specifically, she was trying to keep Peyton from, you know, getting through the obstacle course. And again, she's not evil, so let me not represent her as something evil. But she does represent, for me anyways, the first run-in I had with the pastor. And so I'm going to just build off of that for a moment, if you'll stay with me again. You have a run-in with the pastor, maybe, as you are moving through things. You see, there was a time back in 2000 that I decided I wanted this fine young thing to be my wife, right? And everybody say, but. I said, and. I meant to say, but. Everybody say, but. This pastor, come on, right here, thought it wise that we get some counseling before I say I do. And at this time in my life, again, I'm a year old in the Lord, so I'm very wise, obviously. At this time in my life and all of my wisdom, I'm thinking, I pray 3 hours a day. I fast 2 times a week. I pay tithes on all that I receive. And God told me, right? Come on, you ever been there before? Maybe you've never had a run-in with the pastor, but again, this is my run-in, so I'm kind of moving through this church thing, and I bump into this fine thing, and this pastor fella wants to tell me I need to hold up for a second and get some counseling before I say I do. And again, I've already heard from God, and in my own mind I'm thinking, you know, I've already decided, and so I'm kind of like, excuse me, what was your name again? Roy? Well, listen, Brother Roy, right? Isn't that how it works? Listen, Brother Roy, I appreciate all you do here at the church, and I'm sure you're a great man of God, and I appreciate your advice, but we have peace about this and believe that God will bless it. Right? Some of y'all has been around for the first time. You know how this works sometimes. This was the first time in my Christian life that I did something I didn't want to do. Submitted. Come on, let me not turn this corner too fast on you. I know I might be sliding around the corner. You was having fun a moment ago, and now you're thinking, what is he talking about? Well, this was the first time in my Christian life that I did something I did not want to do. And you might say, oh, Chris, I was really enjoying your message until you went there. Submission. Submission. Really, Chris? Submission? This is supposed to be a day of celebration. And you're talking about submission. But the truth is, if today was about you, I would have preached something else. But it's not. If we are ever going to appreciate our pastors, if we are ever going to celebrate our pastors, then we must know that their celebration begins with our submission. I know I'm turning the corner fast on you. I'm going to say it again. If we are ever going to appreciate our pastors, if we are ever going to celebrate our pastors, then we must know that their celebration begins with our submission. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. For every pastor, the ultimate celebration is when people submit to God and submit to those that rule over them. There is no greater joy for a pastor than to know that his church is walking in truth. But God says to all of us today, do you trust me? Do you trust me? It reminds me of Jesus asking Peter, do you love me? And while Peter gives Jesus a hearty amen every time, he still finds himself in denial. And if God says to all of us today, do you trust me? We say, yes, Lord, you know we trust you. But many times I think we find ourselves in denial. If Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep, then I wonder if he would say to us, follow my shepherd. Follow my shepherd. Do you trust me? Yes, Lord, you know we trust you. Then follow me. There is not. You know it has to work both ways. There is not just a commission to the man of God to feed the sheep. There is a commission to the people to follow the shepherd. I'll take it. Right? Come on. You know, I'm not going to say sheep are dumb. I really never liked that thought anyways. Just don't like being called dumb. Blind, I'll take that before I will dumb. All right? We're blind so many times. We're blind. My full 1 year of radical experience with Jesus Christ was not enough. In 1999, when God is doing construction on me, remodeling me, listen, God had already been at work long before I ever came on the scene here. My 1 year experience, radical conversion, radically saved and delivered from drugs and alcohol, and my many months of prayer and study in the Bible was not enough. It was not enough. I was a day I signed when I walked through those doors back there. And today I still find myself to be blind. In fact, Scripture says we only see in part, we know in part, we prophesy in part. You're looking through a glass darkling, basically saying, like, listen, you've got a picture, but you ain't got everything. So many times we're blind. And yes, man, when I got saved, boy, I was on fire for God. I didn't have no pastor. I was kind of claiming that whole, like, Paul thing. Like, Paul wasn't submitted to nobody. The Holy Spirit taught him. I was kind of like, yeah, that's me. Pretty much don't need no pastor. I've been reading my Bible already, bro. I know what it says. On fire for God. Grasping the word. The Holy Spirit's revealing it to me, but I still walk into this house blind. Me and Jesus, see, me and God, we got this good thing going on. Life is good with just me and God. And then, reading my Bible, realize I need to get plugged in, right? This is how it happens. You get plugged in. I get involved here at the church. And then I meet the pastor, right? You met him earlier, Pastor Caleb, right? Well, Pastor Caleb represents this man here, Pastor Roy. Pastor Roy King. Was Mr. K. Larpa's tool in the shed? No, come on. It's tough, right? Where'd Pastor Caleb go? It's tough. Because you see, this pastor is still hanging with God, right? Come on, you didn't get to see it. I could have drug it out much longer. But listen to me. God is still helping this pastor lead the blind. Come on, lead you. Lead me. Lead the people that God's called him to lead. And really, it was so easy for God to lead Peyton, and I wanted that to be simple so you could understand that there is a vast difference between leading one person and leading many. You may think you're the only person that matters, but you're not. In your mind, you think you should be getting it all. And listen, God has that capacity, but I'm going to have to tell you the truth. Pastor Roy does not. He wasn't built that way, wasn't made that way. He ain't God. God's glad about that. He's glad about that. We're okay with it. Are you okay with it? But you see, so many times we think we should be getting all the attention and we should be getting clear instruction and this should be easy, simple. Life was good when it was just me and Jesus. And so Pastor Caleb comes on the scene and you have to recognize he's not just leading you, many people. And I'm not telling you that's an easy job. In fact, I'm telling you the opposite. It's not easy. It's hard. You couldn't have done any better than Pastor Caleb. And no matter how much you think you can't do better than Pastor Roy. You might not like that. Took me a few years to get there. I ain't lying. I'd be lying if I told you I didn't have the thought before. I could do this. I could do it better. Some fundamental differences that I probably won't share today, but you can't do it better than the man that God has called to do it. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Don't matter how good you look. Come on, doesn't matter what kind of jokes you got, how good you sing. Don't matter. If it ain't you, it ain't you. And if it is you, it is you. That's on God. You'll have to deal with it. I wonder how often we find ourselves in denial. Yes, I trust you, but follow him. Yes, I trust you, but follow him. Do. I'll tell you now, God uses imperfect people to help him do a perfect work. And if you trust him today, you'll have to trust them too. Jesus did what no man could do, so men could do what no one man could do. I made that up. I love it. It's twisty. You can read it. It's the best way to do it. I love it. It's good. I was proud of myself just to say that, you know. Jesus did what no man could do, so men could do what no one man, come on, are you with me, could do. I'm going to get it out there, right? I was squeezing that one, sorry. Whew, got me confused. Give me a second while I figure this out. Jesus said in John 14 that if we believe in him, we will do what he does and even greater things because he is going to the Father. And I don't believe he means greater in quantity, but greater in quality. Because Jesus was going to the Father, and his plan all along was to send his Holy Spirit back to live in us. Amen? And Jesus did what no man could do, so men could do what no one man could do. Let me say that one part again. I think I got that flipped around, and I apologize. You're not going to do greater things in quantity of what Jesus did. We're only going to do things in quantity greater than what Jesus did. Y'all caught that, right? I'm glad y'all are listening. Yeah, the works I do, you shall do. That much greater. Come on, quantity. Not quality. See, listen, God is everywhere, but Jesus was not. He was in a specific location. As he walked the earth, he was where he was. And he knew he needed to go to the Father so that he could send the Comforter, so he could send the Holy Spirit to live inside of men. So Jesus did what you couldn't do. Not sure if you're aware of what that was or not, but tell you in a moment, so that you could do what he would need you to do. Amen? We understand that there's not a pastor on this planet, doesn't matter how great they are, that can do what Jesus did. No man is perfect. No man can pay your debt. No man can give you eternal life. Come on, only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus could do that. Right? And because this is true, I ask that we all take the pressure off of our pastors to be Jesus, to be all-knowing, to be everywhere at once, to be all-powerful. Come on, I joked about this as we opened up today, but somehow we believe he is Jesus. And don't confuse the fact that he should follow Jesus, live like Jesus, be the best man of God he can be. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying again is what I said earlier. He's not God. He don't know everything going on in your life, everything going on in your mind, everything going on in your heart. He is not all-knowing. Do not assume that he does know everything. He cannot be everywhere at once. He will miss some things. Even though you want him there, he can't be everywhere at once. Even though you wish he knew, he doesn't know everything. And even as God has anointed him, he is not doesn't all powerful. He could show up a dozen times and speak into your situation and into your circumstance. But don't expect him to be all powerful. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus. He knows that. Do we know that? Because this little fun scenario earlier plays out so many different ways sometimes. And so many times we're just thinking about us. We don't realize what it's like to be Him. Amen? So we take the pressure off. I ask that you forgive us for expecting you to be something that you're not. Something that you can't be. And that's a fair thought for everybody for just a moment. But I ask it on behalf of all of us. Forgive us. But you can be who God has called you to be. Amen. You agree with that? Come on, get happy. You can. I know that was a little sobering. But you can be who God has called you to be. Doesn't matter if you're not. You know, we've got Pastor Caleb here. And listen, I was asking him yesterday, and you'll remember this show. I don't believe it exists any longer. But I said, I mean, how old is a fifth grader? And he said, like 10 or, you know. And so I was like, good, because, you know, he's almost 10. And I thought, are you 10? You're not 10, are you? Good, all right, just checking. All right, anyways. So I thought, but we'll still use Caleb because that's good. Because, you know, it's tough sometimes when you're a pastor because you might not be smarter than a fifth grader. Right? Right? You might not be smarter than a fifth grader. Y'all are processing that one still too. It's okay. But it don't matter if you're smarter than a fifth grader. Listen, I said it earlier, I'm saying it again, just want you to get it. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how pretty you are, how good you preach, come on, how good you smell, how good you sing, none of that matters. It don't matter if he's not smarter than a fifth grader. You need to mind your own business, right? If God picked him, then who are you? If God chose him, then who are you? Come on, God's not looking for that perfect preacher I read about earlier. In fact, I believe the Bible backs up the thought that a child shall lead them. Truth is, he might do better if he's not smarter than a fifth grader. Some of us are too smart for good, God, right? Truth? Come on, doesn't matter if you're not smarter than a fifth grader. Doesn't matter if you don't know how to use hashtags. Right? It doesn't matter if we like your preaching or not. What matters is that you be who God has called you to be. And you can do that. I believe you can. I believe you do. Are you with me on that? Forgive us for expecting you to do stuff you can't, but every one of us should believe he can do what God has called him to do. He is doing what God has called him to do. And for almost 20 years, I've personally watched you do your best to be that man, for you to be that woman that God is pleased with. And while you're not perfect, you have made many sacrifices for us. Understand. Most of us will never truly understand the sacrifices of a pastor. You won't. There's few that will. And I'm not talking about like a children's pastor or a youth pastor or a worship pastor or even an associate pastor for that matter, not to diminish their role in the church, but there is something different about knowing that you are the person at which God holds most responsible for his people. Hard or not? Let me put this into perspective. For those of you who are a part of a family, raise your hand. I love that. We have total participation today. I feel successful. For those of you that are part of a family today, imagine if your family was 200 strong. Imagine if your family was 200 strong. Let's break that down. That is 25 men who look like your dad. That is 25 women who look like your mom. 25 men who look like your brother. 25 women who look like your sister. 25 more like your son. 24 more like your daughters. 25 more like your grandson. 25 more like your granddaughter. Now that's perspective. See, I just made your family look small. But his family, her family, is 200 strong. I dare say 250, and some of you would want to question me where the rest of the people are. Oh, there's people who will never come that believe that this is their church and he is their pastor. Won't never give anything, but they'll expect everything. Jesus. Oh, it's a big family, and you may not understand the scope of it, but think about that for a minute. Put it into perspective in that way. And family's easy, right? Right? Family's easy. No, wait a minute. Absolutely not. Your little family ain't easy. This big family's a mess. Never ending. Never ending. We can't imagine. But that's how it is for the pastor. Being part of a family takes sacrifice, though. Families, times. Come on, you know this to be true, so just think about your family. Families take sacrifice. But many times, it's your own flesh and blood that is sacrificed. Right? Now, you may not want to admit that, but lots of times it's our own family that's sacrificed for the good of others. And even for these pastors here, many times it's their own flesh and blood that's sacrificed. That's right, church. Many times it is Tara. Now, I'm going to remove her title for a moment, because it's easy for us to forget that she is a person. Not just a pastor. She is the wife of Roy King. She's a mother of three beautiful children. Now, I don't say that to be condemning in any form or fashion, but you know what? It's just not a thought we have that often. And that's truth.